This is CliffCentral.com.
This show contains adult content. If you find it offensive, please go to the CliffCentral.com website, where there's a show for you.
And it's good morning to you and to you and especially to you as the sun rises over the beautiful land of South Africa. The show goes around the world. Good day to you. I hope voting was good yesterday. I must tell you, it rained in certain areas, but people got out. I saw the across the news, people, the lines were packed, and people were casting their vote. And you don't have a right to have a voice unless you actually put that X on the ballot box. So, congratulations, South Africa. The results are coming in, and we'll see what happens. Yeah, so much, not much will change, will it really? But you have to make the change. So yes, happy Voters Day. I must tell you, life has been really, really good. I just ended up being involved with the Mr. Gay World production that was in Cape Town. 22 delegates from around the world with their phenomenal causes, with the things that they do in their countries to create awareness around LBG plus rights, which is really interesting. And Mr. Philippines won, so we'll talk to him later on in the show. The show is full today, of course, here on CliffCentral.com. It is the Unview, where we're the thin, the rich, and the fabulous. It's very important that we understand. No one knows who is thin, because we're always trying to get there. No one knows how rich we're ever going to be, because we're always trying to get there. But we're always and always fabulous. My name is Alan Ford, and it is very good to be with you today. Also, on a personal note, my life partner went through a phenomenal graduation. Got a great graduate. Well, it's lovely going to a graduation. Graduations are going to an inauguration for one reason. Is that it's so cool to see people getting so widely acknowledged, and most importantly, it's so important to see that that education is important, it's vital, and as the dean or the vice chancellor of the university said, take this degree, take this diploma, take this accolade, and all the work that you've done, and go and do the good work amongst the members of your community, amongst your country, and amongst the world, and represent South Africa proudly. I thought that was great. So, Jacques, sure, well done. That was great. I just cried the whole way through. I'm just an emotion. I cried through everything. Chicago takes me this. I'm in tears. And all that jazz, it's me. It's good to be with you, as I said, this morning, as the sun comes up, as we vote, and we count the votes on this wonderful Thursday. It's good to be with you. Today's show is really, really packed with so many wonderful things. We're going to chat to Amra Faye in a moment. Amra is, of course, should I say, Mrs. Chicago. Ms. Chicago, actually, even better. Has played on Broadway. Has played on the West End. Is one of the most award-winning actresses. They call her the Charlize Theron of theatre abroad. So we'll talk to Amra Faye. We've also got some of the ensemble in studio, Jared Newden, Tami Njoko, Michael Fullard. They're in studio. We're also going to chat about the beautiful noise happening at the Balalaika Hotel. It's a tribute to Neil Diamond. Johan Liebenberg's in studio. John Flissmus will join us on the line to discuss his new comedy called The End, a comedy about death. We'll talk to him. And then Beatlemania is on tour in South Africa. They're performing at Carnival City, and we've got all four of the Beatles in the tribute show in studio, which is really, really cool. So welcome to the show. It's packed, and I've said we'll be going to the Philippines to speak to Mr. Gay World as well. The show is full of magic. So on that note, I want to go to Amra Faye, and Amra, welcome to South Africa. You're doing three specific shows, and are you there, Amra?
I'm here. I'm listening.
I've got one of the Beatles guys playing from all over the world, playing the strumming here for you. Amra, is it good to be back in South Africa to take two South African stages?
Yes, it's wonderful. It's nostalgic, and it's more or less a full circle for me, because this is where my journey began, and with Chicago particularly, in Cape Town, and I feel like paying tribute back to my country is a wonderful way to bring full circle to my career.
Amory, you come here, I mean, you came to this award-winning show, and of course you're doing three specific performances. You haven't worked with these guys, but of course, you know, they've toured the world internationally, and they're brilliant. What does it feel like? How hard is it to get into the role? Do you have to, is there a couple of days of rehearsal? How does it work?
Oh, okay. So, you know, Chicago is produced everywhere around the world, and there's many companies that are performing simultaneously. And then in my particular company in New York, they're always, we have understudies, and we have people coming in and out of the role of Roxy, particularly, because that's where, you know, celebrity coming in, that role is less of a physical role. And so we...
Emma, just do me a favor. Yeah. Sorry, we're losing you a little bit. Just move around a bit.
Okay.
Let's just see if we
how about here?
Yeah, we're trying to... Let's carry on. Let's try that again.
Okay. So coming into a show is not that much of a problem because the show is the same. The ensemble know exactly where they have to be at any point in time during any number. And so for me to just slot myself in is no problem at all. I'll probably have a couple of hours with the music director, Brian Schimmel, and then just practice a few of the lifts, etc., and then I'll be on. That'll be it.
Can I ask you, what is it like, firstly, performing on the West End and performing on Broadway? Give you know, a lot of people...
Between the two?
What is the difference, and what is it like taking to those stages?
It's an interesting question because I went back and forth from the West End company to the New York company for about 5 years. And I was in a unique position of being able to see... Hello, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
You're
loud and
clear. I was in a unique position of being able to check to see which was, you know, the differences and so on. The biggest difference is in the audiences because in the West End they have a lot of continental people coming across who don't speak English, and so the audience response is vastly different. Story, an American story, and so there's an American sensibility to the show, which I felt made a big difference. There's a certain amount of grittiness to the cell block women that I missed a little bit in the UK production. But having said that, it's directed by the same people, it's produced by the same people, and so it's they make sure that every fingernail is in the right place throughout the world.
I know Ilse Klink, and I chatted to Ilse recently, and she's so excited because you have performed with her a number of times here in South Africa.
Yes.
You're reuniting with Mama on stage.
Well, most of Velma's scenes are with Mama, so it's and Ilse is terrific in the role. I can't wait to play with her again. She's a great actress.
I mean, born in an unconventional type of setup. I mean, you were born in native South Africa in the farmlands. And yes. What is it like to spread the word of South Africa and the comparison of being a humble background to what you're doing now all over the world?
Well, let me just start at the end of that. My colleagues in New York, actually, I brought them out to do it. I think it was a test show, and they fell in love with South Africa, and so they've been coming back year after year. In fact, they got married in Cape Town, and a number of my cast members actually flew out for them. So, so I've been spreading the good news about my beautiful country over there for sure. But to answer the other part of your question, I would never. Years that I'd be doing what I am doing, you know, when I grew up in East London. Being a professional on stage wasn't even close to, you know, what I thought might be a viable way of doing. And I try to remember that and keep that, you know, as part of who I am so that so I don't lose the plot.
Yeah, stay grounded. That's the key.
Exactly.
Amra, are you, you've got three performances. Are you excited to have the South African audience watch you and just to perform for them?
I absolutely can't wait. And I must say, I was sitting in the audience a couple of nights ago. Mm. The audiences are different to what they were years back when we did the show in 2005 and 2008. Mm. They seem to have grown with the show. I guess there's, you know, with the publicity of the show, et cetera, or maybe they've seen it before, but there's a little bit of audience participation, which is fantastic. You know, in some of the songs, there's it's almost like a rock or a sing along. The audience seems to be, you know, more tuned with the show than they were before, and that's making a huge difference, I think, to the cast.
Amra, the signal, the line is not great. I'm going to leave you there on that note.
Okay.
And thank you for joining us. We'll chat to you soon, hopefully get you in studio.
I
remember
you so
interviewing
much.
You, some 14 years ago. Boy, how time flies.
Oh, God. It does, right?
Completely.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. That's the one and only Amra Faye, who's out in South Africa to do those three exceptional performances, and I'll tell you about them in a moment. In studio, Jared Nurden, Tami Njoko, and Michael Fullod at the part of the ensemble.
Yeah.
Hi, guys. Amra Faye into you. Hey, kind of cool,
yeah,
huh?
Fantastic.
You have not performed with her yet.
We actually have.
Okay, tell me.
We have. She helped us open the show in New Zealand last year.
Okay.
Yeah, she helped us open the show for the first week. And yeah, so it will be our second time working with her here in South Africa, which is going
to
be cool.
It's amazing to see I'm not saying, but you're not a young person. You know, to be able to do those moves and to keep it. Even Sam Pierre, for example. But they're not youngsters. I mean, guys, you're still in your 20s.
They're both incredible.
You're already in your 20s.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I often stand backstage and I say to Sam. I say to Sam all the time, I'm like, how do you do it? How do you do it? Like, no, they are phenomenal in what they do. It's crazy.
So, and it is, and it's double your age, eh, guys?
Yeah.
Seriously, double your age.
To do that 8 times a week, it's just... I know. It's quite something incredible.
And they do it like 20-year-olds. It's amazing.
Yeah. It also just keeps you, like, you remind yourself that you are going to get older, and it just keeps you grounded that you can do it because they are just leading the way, without a doubt, hands down.
Yeah. And age is but a number.
Yeah, but
exactly.
A number.
Okay.
Yeah. that's very important. And again, it shows you... Sometimes experience gives you some more
100%.
Boomer. Yes. Maybe more cricks in the knots and more yeah. like joints that are doing fun.
But they never show it.
No.
And they kill it.
I know, they kill it. Samantha Pierre killed it.
No, completely.
So, that opening was spectacular. Loved it. We haven't been able to speak to you because we weren't on air last week. But yeah, what a great opening and great production. I mean, again, all over Asia, all over New Zealand.
Yeah, we've had time to really refine the performances, which has been quite cool coming back to South Africa.
Now, you're the ensemble.
Yeah.
And the ensemble is obviously all the different roles happening in the background. So at one stage, you're playing the police officer, Tami. And then at one stage, you're playing...
The bailiff.
The bailiff.
Yes.
And then the other stage... Were you the judge as well? Someone,
yeah.
You're also the judge. Okay. And so you got all the... And then you also have to be precision dancers. Okay. Precision. And then on that note, you also have to be singing. The whole time, and moving, and acting.
Yeah, it's a triple threat show.
Yeah, you kind of just have to throw yourself into it, and if you don't do it 100%, you're just going to not go there.
There's an interesting question, and Jared, you and I have discussed this in the past, some years ago. You don't get the leads, it happens.
Okay? Yeah.
And in this particular production, there's only really two male leads.
Yes.
Okay, in the whole production. Yeah. So you have to get the other role. But it's as critical as the lead.
100%.
Yeah. No one understands the supporting roles is as critical.
Like my teacher once told me that in theater there's no small actors. You know, like everybody has a role to play. You all support one another, and that's the beautiful thing about Chicago, that everybody's there for one another 100%, and the ensemble and principals, they lead the way, and we get inspired to do better every single day because they deliver, and yeah, people should come out and support. They'll definitely enjoy.
That's a great...
It's an ensemble show. And
it really is.
That's what's so beautiful about it. And when, like, we've been teaching workshops this year to, like, different kids and stuff, and when you're teaching it to them, it's such a great show to give an example of how to support, because no one can be an individual and like kind of be egotistical and just be out there. Everyone has to follow each other, sync in with energy. So it's really cool that way. It's kind of a really respectful show in that kind of sense. So.
You went and you did Priscilla.
Yes.
Around the world.
Yes.
Okay. You were in Priscilla.
I was in Priscilla.
You almost tripped over me when I was busy. I was doing the whole recording from backstage. Yeah. Okay. And again, it's at these type of productions and working with Showtime and people like Hazel Feldman takes you around the world. What is that like, and how does that add to the experience of life and to the experience of theatre?
Well, for me specifically, it's the most incredible feeling to be able to go around the world as a South African cast and show the rest of the world that we're just as talented as they are. We can do it just the same or maybe even better as the rest of the world. And to be able to see the world is just incredible, in my own opinion. Because I never thought I would be able to travel, and here I am.
Especially, it was said by one of the was it Ilse or Hazel, something that at least it's nice to go and stay in nice hotels in China. nice hotel.
Hotel life is amazing, because I think
Tommy loves it.
the amazing thing about being on tour is that you don't need to worry about making food and traveling, driving yourself. You get into the hotel. Yes, it is hard trying to find food, like places like Asia and stuff, to keep your diet as a performer. But
of course, they've got to keep themselves slim. Well, they can't go for sweet and sour.
Can't just have Burger King.
I went authentic, okay. And you went Burger King.
Well, there we go.
it does help you to grow, because you also have some alone time, and you do like self investments, and you ask yourself questions like how can I make myself better and grow within the places and the opportunities that I'm receiving? So
that's my favorite part about touring, is that you do, like, you have your performances 2 hours a day, which is great. But then a lot of the time you have a lot of perspective, a lot of growth. You're seeing cultures, you're meeting people, you're learning so much about life in all the different places that you're at. And then you have a lot of time in your hotel room to just reflect and, you know, really invest as a human being.
In yourself.
Getting deep.
And it's nice to go and venture the streets. To go and see. I mean, strangest place you've been to. Okay, strangest place.
Well, I'm going to say Nanchang. It's a little city in China.
Nanchang.
Okay.
I'm with him on that.
It was.
Same.
It was
there
quite.
Were so
why
many,
is
that
then
a mosquito place?
It was quite.
Is that the mosquito place?
That's the mosquito place.
So basically, we looked out our hotel windows, right? And I've never seen so many mosquitoes in all my life. Like, they were stuck.
On wall.
It was like an apocalypse. Yeah. It was crazy. No, it was quite scary.
Okay.
Nanchang.
So no, don't go to Nanchang.
Go there with peaceful sleep.
If you've just joined us, this is cliffcentral.com. We had Amra Faye on the line here in South Africa for 3 phenomenal performances. We'll go there in a moment and tell you when it's all happening. Also, we've got 3 of the ensemble cast, Jared Nurden, Tamin Joko, and Michael Fullod. And we're talking about Chicago, happening at Monte Cassino. And, of course, it's brought to you by Showtime. We'll discuss. It's happening. I mean, the show goes on. There's no Monday performances, but the show is on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturdays. There's 2 shows, and Sundays. The 2 shows. And, it's just. And from here, you go off to Europe.
Yes.
So Germany.
Germany and Austria.
And Austria.
And Austria. Yes.
Yeah, it's going to be. That's loads of fun, isn't it?
In the summer. That's going to be great.
That's behave, people, behave. I know, I'm telling you, behave. They must behave themselves. Another wonderful thing that is happening in Johannesburg, I want to welcome Johan Liebenberg to the show. Johan is doing a tribute to Neil Diamond. It's happening at the phenomenal Balalaika. The Balalaika is an institution that's been in Sandton for 70 years. I've known it for 30 years. It's weird to say that. But, 702, we were very close in those days with the Balalaika. So they've opened their a theatre at the Balalaika. And we had defending the caveman, Tim Pluman. That is just, the run is just finished. And now, a beautiful noise, the tribute to Neil Diamond with Johan Liebenberg opens this week, tonight actually.
Tonight, yes.
Hello, Johan.
How are you?
Welcome to the show. Born and bred in Namibia.
Yes, Wolfish Bay.
Okay, and you're rocking all over South Africa with... Now, we're going to do this because we get the tribute shows and we're going to chat in a moment to the guys from Beatlemania. Okay, so who's also travelled around the world. Some of the guys are from Australia, from Scotland, but we're going to chat to them in the moment. But a beautiful noise, Neil Diamond. Before we do this in the morning, okay, we do this in the morning. So this is what we're going to do.
Okay.
I want to hear, do you sound like Neil Diamond to some extent? I think it's important. Okay, guys, get ready for it, okay, in the studio. But Johan Liebenberg, the show opens tonight at the Balalaika in Sandton. What are you going to kick off with? What is your favorite song of Neil Diamond? That's the first question we're going to ask.
Play Me, it's probably my favorite song.
Okay. Jared, do me a favor, swing that mic so we can put it by the guitar, all right, so we can get best acoustics in the studio, all right? All right, let's go for it. The one and only, Johan Liebenberg, Play Me.
She was morning, and I was nighttime. One day woke up to find him lying beside my bed. I softly said, come take me. For I've been lonely, in need of someone. As though I've done someone wrong somewhere, but I don't know where. I don't know where. Come lately. Cause you are the sun, I am the moon. You are the words, I am the tune. Just play me. Songs she sang to me, songs she rang to me, words that rang in me and rang that sprang from me, warm the night. And what was right became me. Cause you are the sun, I am the moon. You are the words, I am the tune. Slay me.
Wow.
Thank you. That's a great, great way. Very kind.
Do you know that song, I'm a Believer? When I saw your face, yes. Dun, dun, dun. Do you know the song?
Yeah.
Another song. Okay, so get ready because you guys, everybody sings in studio. All right, so we're all going to do that. Okay. Johan, firstly, tell me your love of Neil Diamond. Where did it begin? And how did you realize this is what you do, what you love to do?
I think I grew up in an Afrikaans family, obviously, and my parents, they didn't really listen to nice music, so
according to me, it's
a very conservative. So, but they had the Hot August Night album, and yeah, when I was young, I saw the double LP, and I listened to it. And I mean, I'm never a big fan of the commercial stuff. I like the deep songs that he does, like Morningside, Play Me, I Must Said. So that caught my eye, and yeah, I just listened. I was actually a first Eric Clapton fan because I just wanted to play guitar. I never wanted to sing.
Mm-hmm.
I was a bit shy. So, yeah, then it only started. I did play guitar in Banya Theatres and productions like that as a guitar player. And only in 2009 they approached me and said, listen, because I used to sing like one song in a show and then go stand back in my corner. And then they approached me and said, don't you want to front the show? I said, okay, I'll do a Neil Diamond show, but I'm not going to to do any choreography or anything like that. So
I'm like, yeah, that's why you speak to these guys.
So I said, as long as I've got a guitar in front of me, and but there was, I had to sing a duet with You Don't Bring Me Flowers, and I had to come on just with a microphone. And I can remember that first night, because when you're a guitar player, you know what to do with your left hand. And as I come out walking there, and this mic was just like shaking in my hand, I'm like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, you don't
doing this. But yeah, luckily since then I've grown the confidence in doing it, and yeah, I've been doing my own show since 2013.
Which is how old are you when that was? I mean, how old are you?
I'm 45 now.
Yeah. Okay, so you think about this is 6 years ago.
Yeah.
39 years old, you decide to go and front this.
Yeah, I do my own thing, yeah.
And that is incredible. Yeah. Which shows you you're never too old, yeah. Or never too young, by the way, to do anything. And now you've got the show, and it's the tickets are flying, which is magic. And I love that. I'm so happy that you guys are the better, like, did a pop up, well, it started another theatre in Sandton, because that's the strip, that's the whole that's where the hub is now moved to, because you've got that the Mark, and you've got the tallest building in Africa, the Leonardo is going to open up there, and you've got all the clubs, and you've got everything happening, the JSC, yeah, so yeah. That's the hub, and so I think it's
coming from Namibia, for me it was like New York City. Yeah. I was taking photos last night.
Really?
Man, I'm famous. I sent photos to my dad in the movie. I said, hey, look at this. I finally made it. I'm living in a hotel.
But you sing magnificently.
Oh, thank you.
Which is, you have to have the talent. I mean, you can dance the jive with your mom at home alone. But boys, if you can't dance, you can't dance.
Okay, yeah, I'm one of those.
You can. Well, I mean, you need to learn how to dance. Yeah, it's an art. Yeah. When you travel with this particular show, do you find that you introduce people to his music, or do you think that a lot of people know his music? Do they compare you a lot?
I think if you take on someone like Neil Diamond or like what they're doing with the Beatles and stuff, you can't go and disrespect it and do it your way. I mean, I'm privileged to be able to sing his music, or to kind of sound like him, but you've got to try and do justice the best way you can. Because people come out and they come listen to you. You can't just do your own thing. And they come and they come crit you. And I get a lot of people off the shelves always like, we came here tonight to see if you can do it. You know, so, and that's why
I opened
it. And you always know you've got that pressure there. But that's a good thing. I think it keeps your feet on the ground. You know, and if you've got it, people always ask me, do you have hobby? I said, no, my off time, I practice and trying to get better, you know. So, but I've got a 9-year-old daughter, and she keeps me busy, so that's my hobby.
Now, do you perform You Don't Bring Me Flowers in the show?
Not in this show, yeah.
No, because you do need that. You need the barber strike. You need the female.
I've tried to sing like it, but I mean, listen.
Sorry, it's not the Barbra Streisand tribute.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's cool. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to get the Beatles in a moment. You're on listening to CliffCentral.com, and of course, lots of fabulous things are happening on the show today. But I thought we should actually just all get everybody going in the mood. You know, as you're waking up, it's a day after a public holiday. We need a bit of a vibe. Okay, so if everybody, okay, you got it. Okay, I see the guys. So we're gonna all sing "I'm a Believer." It's one of my best songs. If you haven't seen Shrek, it's. I mean, I've known it since Neil Diamond days, but it's great in Shrek. This is to the loves of our life. This is for my nephews because they sing it with my mother in the car, and I think it's the best song ever. So, guys, is everyone ready to sing something loud in the studio? We'll go to the chorus.
I thought love was only true in fairy tales, meant for someone else but not for me. Love was out to get me. That's the way it seems. Disappointment haunted all my dreams. Boom, boom. But then I saw her face. Now I'm a believer. Not a trace out of my mind, but I'm in love. Ooh, I'm a believer. I can leave her if I try. But then I saw her face. Now I'm a believer. Not a trace
out of my mind. But I'm in love. Ooh, I'm a believer. I could leave her if I tried.
Yeah! That is wonderful stuff. Thank you so much. That is, Johan, we're going to get your hand. Johan, we're going to close this, the song with Sweet Caroline. We're going to close the show, sorry, with Sweet Caroline. And it was really fun. It was really fun. And Johan opens tonight at the Balalaika Theatre. And, of course, you can book. And there's some specials, by the way, if you want to stay the night and you get dinners. And it's really cool. I'll tell you that in a moment. But before we do that, you know, today is Mother's Day month. It is Mother's Day month, which means even more reasons for some pampering. So Skin Sense Day Spa in Rivonia, Johannesburg, hosts a comprehensive range of expert beauty treatments. Now, they've got a space that is so zen and so beautiful, and you can achieve it. And take your mom for just a day of just the most wonderful pampering around. Most wonderful pampering. Perhaps a full body massage after a long, hard day's work. If the kids are driving her mad, take her there. Husbands. It's a beautiful to do your nails and to have things done. And it's the one and only Skin Sense Day Spa. Please go and check out the May specials at cliffcentral.com or give them a call, because if it's going to be good, it's going to be at the Skin Sense Day Spa in Rivonia. And remember, it's Mother's Day. We love the mums. We love the mums. That's what it's about. From here we move on to this Beatlemania tour. Joe Kane, Zach Coombs, Brent McMullen, Ben Harper, welcome to the studio.
Hello, hello,
hello,
hello,
hello,
hello,
hello. Hello. Joe.
Yes, hello.
Where are you from, Joe?
I'm from Glasgow in Scotland, in the UK. Yeah.
Okay, and how long have you been a part of the Beatlemania tour? Where were you guys before coming to South Africa?
We were
Cape Town.
Yeah, Cape Town. Yeah, actually, we were pretty much did a South Africa all of last year. We did Johannesburg at the Emperor's Palace, mm-hmm. and then we did Durban, mm-hmm. Asabai, and then we did Cape Town at the Artscape, and that was all throughout last year. And now we're back at Joburg by popular demand,
which is brilliant. Now, but I said before South Africa, where else have you toured the world?
We've done Canada, we've done the US, we've also done Australia and New Zealand, so we've travelled all around this great big world of ours. There,
are you loving South Africa?
Always love South Africa.
Yeah, always.
Mm-hmm. Which is really, really good. And now tell me, so you guys are from Australia,
mm-hmm.
okay? You're from Scotland,
still am.
Where you from? Yeah, okay, and so tell me about your love for the Beatles in Scotland.
Well, Scotland's just next to England and
exactly.
Liverpool,
mm-hmm.
so I didn't grow up like Neil was saying. My mum and dad didn't particularly like the Beatles, so I kind of discovered them for myself. Like,
really?
Yeah, and learned to play guitar because I got into the Beatles, and you know, so it's been a kind of a love affair of mine.
Where did the love of the Beatles begin for you?
Well, funnily enough, it was my parents. I mean, my parents loved to listen to jazz music, but they were also big Beatles fans. And I really got into them around about the age of 14, 15. And after that, it was just like an epiphany after listening to all their music. I got all their albums, got mum to buy all the albums for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I just listened to every song and tried to play along with every song on the guitar. That's what I did in high school, but yeah, pretty much it.
And are the Beatles the greatest group of all time? I want to ask the question because now I need this. I know that you're doing the tour, but if it's not, if they're not for you, who is the next best?
Oof,
that's a tough question.
For me, they're number one. Yeah,
okay, number
absolutely.
One.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Of course, yeah, number one.
Yeah, number one.
The Beatles,
sure.
Yeah, number one for me. But Pink Floyd was probably my second.
Oh, okay, Pink Floyd. I would have said Bee Gees. I don't know. I would have
Bee Gees.
I would have said Rolling Stones. I don't
know. Rolling Stones.
Queen.
Yeah.
Funny, the UK really popped out a few big ones, eh?
Yeah.
But Australia, the Bee Gees, let's think about it. That was bordering Australia. Touring the world and performing their music, what is one of your favourite hits? What do you love singing?
We love singing all the songs. Like, they had so many to choose from. My personal favorite that we do in the show is probably someone like Nowhere Man, or actually we've introduced a new song called This Boy, which was like a B-side to one of their big hits, I Wanna Hold Your Hand. That's probably my favorite at the moment.
Okay, let's have a piece of this. Let's hear a bit of it.
Okay,
let's see. All right, do you want to grab this mic here? He's of course he's Ringo.
He's Ringo. He's the drummer.
He's gonna play the drums on the okay.
Okay, here we go.
That boy took my love away. Though he'll regret it someday, yeah. This boy wants you back again. That boy isn't good for you. Though he may want you to, this boy wants you back again. Oh, and this boy would be happy just to love you.
Beautiful Beatlemania, love that.
Thank you.
Oh, we get it. Okay, that is, geez, that's
three parts.
Clever people, like I know the top new artist of the day should be redoing that song actually. Mm. So Beatlemania comes to Carnival City, opens this week, and we're going to talk about it in a moment's time.
Yep.
Okay, it's just been in Cape Town, been throughout throughout South Africa, and of course it. Then goes back overseas. We also have the cast of Chicago in studio. We've got Beautiful Noise, a tribute to Neil Diamond here. On the line, I want to just tell you that this has got to be one of the funniest men in South Africa. His name is John Flismus. John, welcome to the show. The show is called How are you, John? The show is called The End, a comedy about death.
Yes.
John, I wanted to say the following. The last time you were on the show, I remember you, the love and the care that you had for your dad, and firstly my deepest sympathy on the loss. And now you created a show around the end, a comedy about death. And of course you were very close to your dad, and so again accept our sympathies and of course our condolences. But now you've turned it into work, into a piece of work. Tell us about it.
Yeah. Well, I just obviously I was with Dad for a lot of the time. So when he died, it kind of quite a big reflection at the time, and then I started to think about how to make comedy out of one of the hardest sort of things so far, and then it just developed. I did the research and started to understand that what people don't like actually is endings. We humans struggle with all kinds of endings, and so that's where the kind of show, the concept of The End came from, and show all about endings. And it's been very cool because I've had people come who've laughed really hard and then cried. And that's, for me, the perfect kind of comedy.
John, what was it like for your family members to see it?
I think it was, in a way, really hard, but also kind of useful. My daughter's working on the show. My sister was quite involved. She might actually film it. She's a director. I had a family friend who was with us a lot while my dad was ill and over his death. He's lost both her parents. She's an actress from Durban and writer called Liesl Koppen. She helped me to write the show. So in a way, it's been almost like a bit of a team project of people who were involved.
And it makes it a bit cathartic in some sense. It's peace. It brings some peace.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, processing this kind of stuff in front of an audience means that you're kind of doing it during a time of heightened awareness. So
sure.
Most like doing...
John, I wanna ask you the following. What have you found funny about death? Because, I mean, it is the end.
No,
a comedy.
Absolutely.
What is funny about death?
There are a couple of things. The one is the refusal to let this inevitable horror get you down. So constantly defying death, regardless of how futile our defiance is. And then, more than anything else, it's more about the living. We don't handle being around dying very well. We become awkward. We say really stupid things. People don't really think, and so I find a lot of humor in those situations. Like, we all become genuinely and physically, mentally challenged human beings when we become visitors to a sick person's house.
Yeah,
our behavior is all wrong.
A young cousin of mine passed away, I went to his mom and I said, Auntie Shirley, how are you feeling? And she looked at me and excused me and she said, how the fuck do you think I'm feeling? I don't usually use them.
Exactly.
How do you think? I'm feeling great. I want to go dancing.
No, exactly.
I just feel like having a party. How do you think I'm feeling? I looked at her and I went, oh my goodness. And I have never asked that question again. I've never said to someone, how are you feeling? Or how are you coping? I'm great. I'm having cake and tea and I'm enjoying myself. It's the best time of my life. So I'm trying to play. I've never been better. It is funny because the way we react to it, exactly as you said, and the way people deal with it is so, and how people react to you is so weird.
Yes. Yeah.
It is awkward. Death is an awkward thing.
That's what I talk a lot about in this particular show, is exactly that. It's that kind of environment, you know, the dying process, what happens after that, you know, the aftermath of someone dying. There is actually a lot of humor, and my dad was kind of an irreverent person, so, you know, I think he would have approved, and he certainly didn't want anyone to be doing funerals or anything over him. He hated all that stuff. So, I think it's a good tribute, and you know, getting to basically, you know, 32 times work through my dad's death in front of an audience, it must be helpful.
Yes, I think you help a lot of people, but again, you look at yourself and you, does it bring you to tears? Does it make you cry? Do you cry backstage sometimes afterwards or something?
No, I was quite emotional when I was working on the show, but I found that, and I didn't know, to be honest, if at the first show I'd get to it, but actually, it all worked out, and I have a very specific personality, and I've realized that I don't get emotional when I don't think it's the right time, and also, I actually, as my dad died, like his last breath, I made a joke, and I tell that joke in the show.
John, can I ask you what the joke was? May I ask you?
Well, you see, it's the big ending, so I can't really, you know, give it away before people see it.
Okay, cool.
It was very inappropriate,
inappropriate.
Some people were horrified, and other people were completely like blown away that I could be thinking about laughter at a time like that. But I know in my own way, it was my most sort of loving way of saying goodbye to my dad.
I think it's superb. I love this. When the media invitation came out, it said, "Dear gender non-specific person of the media, he has poked fun at most of the dark horses in our collective mental stables. He has touched on racism on his studio. He's wrapped his tongue around the human brain and even ghost and goosed God. But most of all, he has never done this and opened up himself. The end is by far the most personal, raw thing that you have done." And I've got to tell you, I think that is, to be a comic, to explore this topic, to be the John Flismus who's from 20, 30, 25 years in the business, has had us in laughs, to be able to do this, and to still say you walk out of there hysterically laughing, at points maybe have a tear come down your face, is incredible, and the reviews are wonderful. Well done.
Yeah, it's gone really well, and I had one guy saying he was laughing, and then he was crying a lot, actually sat with him backstage afterwards. We had a chat about his mom. Like, it was just so cool that he could come and laugh and then have a big cry. And then, you know, I mean, I realized he was still struggling. So we spoke through it, and it was actually quite cool.
Well done, John Plissmas. I can't wait to see your work. I know you're off to Germany next week.
Yeah, I've got to go and do some teaching with Henry in Munich for 2 days.
Okay.
But I'm missing a week of shows, but I come back and do 2 more weeks of the show.
Which is magic. And don't forget, the show is happening at the Little Theatre at Peter Turin, Monte Cassino. John Plissmas, thank you. And thank you for making us laugh about death. That's
cool,
and,
man.
In such a personal, raw way. It's so... I think it's cool. Look after yourself,
you,
my
sir.
Friend. I look forward to seeing
Thanks,
you.
Thanks, man.
Thank you, John.
Thanks so much.
That's the one and only John Plissmas. He plays until the 2nd of June at the Little Theatre upstairs at the Peter Turin at Monte Cassino. So don't miss the one and only John Plissmas. The show's called The End, a comedy about death. Sure. is there a song about a comedy about death? I don't know. But jeez, it's amazing. Because he sat in the studio, and when he was in the studio, he spoke about how his dad had had a stroke and how his dad couldn't communicate with him. And so he sat every day in the hospital with his dad. And then he wrote a comedy piece about what it's like to be around the brain and, you know, for his dad to be in this state. While his dad was completely compartmented, just couldn't move and talk. And then now to interview him post that event and through his dad's death, and now a new comedy has come to the stage. I think it's exceptional. But that's the exception. That's what it's like to be a performer. Mm. You know, I mean, we look at someone like Paul McCartney, for example, Joe. When he lost John Lennon, mm-hmm. even though the band had split up, when Ringo lost George, because they were in good contact, very close contact. Mm. You know, a part of you does leave, but the show goes on, does it not?
Yeah, pretty much it does. Like, anything like that can be devastating to everybody around, because they bring such joy with the music that they actually gave to the world.
Paul wrote Let It Be when the Beatles were splitting up, and he was in a lot of pain, you know. Mm. So he dreamed that his mum, who had died when he was young, came to him and said, "Don't worry about it, just let it go, let it be." So that's where the song came from. That was tragedy
that
turned
is,
into
that
art.
That is my top 5 songs of all time.
All right.
Seriously. And on that note, guess what? I must sing Let It Be. Are you ready?
Yay. Yay, 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 yay.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. Let it be, let it be. Let it be, yeah, let it be. Whisper words of the wisdom, let it be. Yeah. Let it be, let it be, let it be, yeah, let it be. Whisper words of wisdom, let it be.
Brilliant stuff. That is Beatlemania. Sorry, I've been trying to get hold of the guys in the Philippines. Unfortunately, it looks like in Manila, the lines are down. So I'm trying to get a hold of the winner of the Mr. Gay World competition worldwide that happened in Cape Town. We'll try to get him on the show next week because we are running out of time. For people that are in this business, we're gonna swap chairs quickly again, yep. Okay? Not yet, there's a question. Don't move.
Music stopped yet.
Don't move. We're going to get these slots. Okay. What do you think, as performers, as artists, I'm asking you all this question, as people that are in this business, chugging through the business, because it's never easy, and even when you see someone like Beyonce go on a world tour, you see the toll it takes on your body. and on your spirit and on your family life and on your personal life. And so what do you think are the key elements that you need to make it in this business called show business? Go, Joe.
I think you've just got to love it. You've got to not view it as a job. You've got to treat every element of it as like part of your soul, like that's coming out. So a lot of the times people say, do you not get bored of playing Beatles songs? I don't get bored because it's my favourite music, and also when I play it as if it's my own music. You know, I think you've got to have that, you know, not just turn up for the money, you've got to play it as if it's your own thing, you know.
I can't, you know, better that. That's just fine. Perfect.
He was always the quiet Beatle, you know.
He said it perfectly.
Great.
Yeah, I'm the same. You really got to love it. I think it takes a certain amount of discipline as well.
Yeah.
Just every night performing. You got to run through things in your head before you perform them, but yeah, it is mainly about the love of what you do in the job that keeps you going.
I can agree with 100% of with everything that's been said. I can't really add much more than that, other than that you just got to have the drive to do it as well. Like it's not really one of those type of jobs that a lot of people can get used to, traveling around, being away from people that you love all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I think the love really just of the music just drives it for me. It does for me.
Yeah. Are any of you married?
Hey,
okay, yeah.
Got one.
Sorry, I'm not looking. Okay, how do you do? Yes. How do you do it?
Very well.
I don't. I send in a substitute. This isn't me. Okay. My wife is waiting home patiently.
Okay.
She's very patient.
You hope?
Well, we hope.
No hopes about it. She is.
Okay, good.
No, I won't say that.
Okay. Well, you've got to come up with alternative methods. Let's do the swap, boys in. Ding. Gee, there's a lot of guys in the studio. And that, of course, don't miss happening at Carnival City, that great show, and it's called Beatlemania on Tour. Go and get your tickets now. There's some great performances. I'm sure the guys are excited to go home. But I want to thank Joe Kane, Zach Coombs, Brent McCullen, McMullen, and Ben Harper, all for being in studio. We loved having you guys. Beatlemania is on tour in Johannesburg as we speak. Johan,
yes.
How do you do it?
Well,
traveling, I mean, Namibia, you're busy doing selfies, saying, Leonardo, you're in New York City. Okay.
I totally agree with him. It's all about the passion. And obviously, it's a privilege to be able to do music professionally still. At the age of 45, and especially in South Africa, I think, because you know, it's so easy to give it up and go find a job, you know. But
do you regret not feeling that confidence that you felt at 39 when you were 21?
No, not really. I think.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know. No, everything comes at the right time. I mean, I didn't think that I would be here at the moment doing my own shows a few years back. But then again, when I was 21, I didn't know who I was. You know, I was learning about it all.
That's Johan Liebenberg. He's in the Beautiful Noise tribute to Neil Diamond. And, of course, that happens tonight and runs right through till Sunday.
Yes.
Four performances. And it's at the Balalaika, which is just superb here in Sandton. Don't miss the show if you love Neil Diamond. I do want to just make a side note. It's a dig. Forgive me for the dig. Sorry. You know, whatever. Just been through Easter. But I'll say the following. Is that there's another South African artist that has been travelling doing the I'm just, S.H. Steve Hoffmeyer. Okay. Steve Hoffmeyer has gone around. And I'm going to just say something. At the moment, his career is killed. So kill Neil Diamond across the country. Because, yeah, he's just wanted to have a dig. Sometimes people need to learn from their mistakes and doing ugly things and saying horrible things. So down with Steve, up with Johan. That's what I say. That's just me. Guys, you see, that was a bad thing. Very unmarried, not Catholic. Very. Sorry. Again, you're on the road and you're in, you're young, and all the guys, the ensemble, three of the ensemble of Chicago in studio, Jared Nurden, Tami Njoko, and Michael Fullett. What do you think it takes? Because you've seen it and you've got the first, you know, now you've got the first tap and now your career begins. And you know what it's like to stand in the castings, how nervous it is. So what do you think it takes?
for me specifically, it's just the support of my family back home. I'm a big mama's boy. My mom has been there for me through everything, and just to have your friends support you from wherever they are, whether they're in the cast with you or whether they're back home, just to know that they're there whenever you need them, even if the time difference is 10 hours behind or 10 hours ahead. It's just to know that they're there. That's how I do it, specifically when I'm on tour.
Well, I think for me, it's learning to understand myself, understanding my situation, and also, like Michael, doing everything for my mom. I think the biggest thing in life is that when you understand yourself and you understand your situation, regardless of what circumstance you face, you're bound to show up and deliver. So like that, what drives me, like Momsy, yeah.
And then I agree with everyone. It's passion and love for what you do that gets you through, and also the purpose of it is bigger than ourselves. And for being in a relationship, it's all about communication. So, like, I'm in a relationship, and being on tour, I mean, I've been doing different tours for, like, 6 years, but it's all about communication, and your relationship can last if you just communicate.
Yeah. And people need to understand what they're signing up for.
Exactly.
I think another big important point across the board here, and we heard it with Amber, is that you might be on the high today, humility will keep you grounded.
100%.
Because you got to appear before someone the next time, and then so. And I say it across the board because you see it. All of a sudden, certain artists can't get a gig because they were ugly. Or they were
that's
rude
why
or
it's a purpose bigger than yourself.
Yeah, correct.
You always got to know that.
That is. It was so great to have Amra Faye on the line, Broadway superstar, West End superstar, Charlize Theron of the theatre across the world. It's great to have her, and of course to have some of the ensemble from Chicago. Chicago happening right now at the Teatro at Monte. Don't miss the show. On that note, I thought we should close out with something really fun. And where to begin? Am I right? So this is all Sweet Caroline it. Okay. Johan Liebenberg, this is The Unview.
Where it began, I can begin to know when, but then you know it's growing strong. It wasn't the spring, you know, spring became summer. I would have believed you'd come along.
Hands in the air.
Hands.
Yes, everybody, come on.
Touching hands, reaching out, yeah, touching me, touching you, sweet Caroline, bah, bah, bah. And your times never seem so good,
so good, so good, so good,
and I've been inclined. Caroline.
It's been great being with you. My name is Alan Ford. This is The Unview, the thin, the rich, and the fabulous on CliffCentral.com.
This is CliffCentral.com.